Our scripture reading today is from Luke 10, 1 to 11, and then verses 16 to 20. Listen as I read. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them one ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" Verse 16 through 20. "Whoever listens to me, whoever listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven."
Taste and see that the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. As I was listening to this scripture, and thank you, Jan, for reading this morning for us and the word of the Lord here, and just kind of looking at this beautiful visual of harvest, there was stories that I was recounting and thinking about and experiences of harvest that I'm sure many of us have also going through our mind. When we look at this display of vegetables and beautiful flowers, we recount our own stories and our own lives of maybe grueling out in the summer heat, pulling weeds in order to be able to have these kinds of bountiful harvests. Or many of us maybe are thinking of those experiences of going out to that blueberry bush, excited to get some fresh berries, and realizing the robin beat us to it this morning early on, and all of the berries are now gone. But thanks be to God, that robin got some very delicious blueberries. For me, one experience that goes through my mind was when I was in my young 20s. I think I might have been about 23. And I was at Gingrich's Mennonite Church in Lebanon. That's where I attended. And myself and the youth pastor had this ambitious idea. Let's start a community garden. Wow, doesn't that just sound awesome? Community garden, get people out there gardening. We're going to maybe do a big corn patch together, and we will send it out to the rescue mission so they can have some fresh produce. And so in my excited, visionary kind of way, I was all in. And yeah, when can we start? Let's get the plow out there tomorrow and start digging up some dirt. And we're going to get everyone signed up here. Well, it did kind of take off. I mean, people signed up for some plots, and there was a few community members that were excited about this in the beginning. And of course, I was excited to get out there and have my own plot in this garden. And I, you know, it started off well. And then a couple months in, we started to realize that people weren't really taking care of their plots anymore. And all of a sudden, there's weeds everywhere now. And the green beans that are coming up aren't being picked. And somebody has to get out there and get these green beans or they're going to go to waste. And so then I started over-functioning and worrying about other people's plots because they didn't care about their plot at this point anymore in the season. What is the point here of this story? Well, part of it is that in the midst of appreciating this beautiful bounty and harvest, we acknowledge the hard work that goes into getting to that point. And we also acknowledge that sometimes in the midst of our ambitions, not everybody shows up to do their share of the gardening and the pulling of the weeds. The harvest is plentiful, but sometimes the workers are few. As I look in this text here at Luke 10, 1 to 11, it says, after this, in verse 1. Well, what are they talking about after this? Well, it's actually fresh in our minds. We just have to go back to last Sunday's sermon, where Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem with a fixedness of purpose. And he tells his disciples, if you want to follow me, then you're going to also have to go with a fixedness of purpose, setting your face towards the places even where you know hardship or death may come. That is what Jesus did by setting his face to Jerusalem. And now it says, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others. In the NIV, it says 72. It's a matter of textual context if it was 70 or 72, but it really doesn't matter that much. But he sends 70 others out on ahead of him in pairs of two to every town and place where he himself intended to go. This continues in the theme of Jesus being on a mission for the salvation of the world. And if there's one thing that is central and that we can take away from this morning, it's that God's mission for the salvation of the world is not done solely just by God, but that God's mission has a church, and that is us. God has a mission, and God's mission has a church. And here we see that Jesus is sending out this 70 ahead of him. And if you know the book of Luke well, you will notice a direct parallel here to Luke 7, which is when John the Baptist is sent ahead in the same way that these 70 are sent ahead. It anticipates the John the Baptist story, the public presentation of John the Baptist to Israel as he begins his ministry. And like John the Baptist, who was sent before the face of Jesus, as it says in 7:27, so Jesus here is also sending out these 70 to go before him in the same way that John the Baptist did, to prepare the way of the Lord, to continue the forerunner role of John the Baptist. But now it's not just one person preparing the way. It's a community of 70 going out to be a part of this great mission of God. This commissioning of the 72 anticipates that this mission of God is not just for Israel and the Jewish heritage and line, but that this will be a mission to the Gentiles as well. Luke and Acts can be seen as two books that run together. And in many ways, this story here of sending out the 70 directly anticipates what the book of Acts is all about in the beginning of the early church. This being sent out, not just for Israel, but for the Gentiles and for all nations. If you look into this story in Matthew, it's a very similar story, but there's one significant difference. The reference in Matthew limits the mission just to Israel. It says, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, but go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That's in Matthew 10, 5-6. But that makes sense because for Matthew, his audience is primarily just Jewish. That is Matthew's bend on it. And you have to understand the kind of context and audience that each of these authors is writing to. And so for Matthew, that's part of why he says, only go to Israel. But in Luke, it's not just for Israel, it's for all nations. And so that part is missing in Luke. This mission for the 70 will be to Jews and to Gentiles. Luke explains this rationale for the mission. He had been saying to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Clearly, the reference to the Lord of the harvest here is to God and also to Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of the harvest, sending out to be a part of God's mission. How are these 70 supposed to go? Well, just as the story last week had some lines where we kind of went, ooh, how do we work with that? Like, I'm not supposed to say goodbye to my family, or I'm not supposed to bury the dead. Well, here we also have some of those phrases that we maybe have to stop a little bit and ask, what is Jesus really trying to say here? Don't greet anyone along the way. Now, wait a second here. I thought we were supposed to be hospitable and friendly to everybody. Do not carry a wallet, a travel bag, or sandals. What is Jesus saying here? Well, I think just as last week's sermon focused on, as followers of Jesus, we have to go with intention and courage and intentionality, so the same can be said here. It's not that we're not called to prepare or that we should think ahead about what we might need on this mission. I think we do. But the point here is that if we're going to be a part of God's mission, we also have to go with a sense of trusting that this is God's church and this is God's mission, and I'm going to follow in faith. And so even when I'm not exactly sure what this is going to entail, if I have everything that I absolutely need, I'm going to trust in God that this is where God is calling me to go. But here in Luke, the absence of standard traveling equipment indicates the total dependence of the disciple on the sender. The instruction to greet no one along the way is a time-saving measure and underscores the urgency of this mission. The message echoes last week's story. Be single-minded in purpose and do not be distracted. Jesus gives further instructions. Stay in that same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the worker is worthy of his wage. Do not move from house to house, and whatever city you enter and they welcome you, eat what is placed before you. Here in Luke, as it is in Acts as well, we're seeing what it means to be a people of hospitality. A people of hospitality. This is the context.
The command to eat and drink what is provided would be standard etiquette for a guest in a hospitality context. Such activity is an act of table fellowship, and it seals the acceptance of the gospel by the household. But we have to remember something very important here. If these are Jewish followers who know their eating restrictions very well, we see a pretty vulnerable thing that Jesus is asking them to do. For if they grew up knowing, I would never eat pork, now there is a command from Jesus to eat what is placed before you. Beyond guest etiquette required in hospitality, to eat what is placed before you may allude to this setting aside strict food laws for the sake of sharing the good news. Furthermore, when the followers find a hospitable reception, they are to heal those who are sick, say to them, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." If you're going to follow Jesus in this mission, we're going to have to do it with a spirit of hospitality. What do we do when we are not welcomed? Jesus says, shake the dust from the feet. And Jesus says here, don't even carry your sandals. So we have to imagine that these 70 are going out barefooted and they're very dusty feet. And normally, if you're welcomed into the home, the first thing that would be done for you is that they were wash your feet. That's why the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet is so meaningful. But for these followers, as they go into these homes and their feet were not washed, if they were not welcomed, that means that they're going to have a lot of dust on their feet here. And Jesus says, if you're not welcomed, there would be... If you were welcomed, there wouldn't even be any dust to shake. But if you are not welcomed, shake that dust and move on. What does that mean for us today? I think one of the things that we can take away, first of all, is that we have to continue to remember last week's words that Jesus gave when there was a request to send fire down into that Samaritan community that did not welcome Jesus and the disciples. Jesus says, no, that's not the way it's going to be. And we're not following the way that Elijah called fire down, but we're going to be a people of peace. I think here what we're seeing Jesus say is there's a balance here. You can live in a way that still loves and does not call fire down to destroy them if you're not welcomed. But there's also a sense of knowing when it's time to move on. There's also this sense of knowing we tried to bring the love of Christ here to this home. We tried to be hospitable, and yet it was not welcomed. We're not going to call fire down, but we're also going to respect you, and we're going to move on. And sometimes, as followers of Jesus, we have to be discerning the Spirit of God to know where the places of welcome are and where there's times to say, this is not where we feel called to be right now, and we will move on to this next place. But regardless, we do it in love. We do it in a spirit of hospitality. And if God is going to judge, let's let God do that. That's not for us to do. And so as we think about the harvest, as we see this beautiful harvest around us, what is the harvest? It's a very simple question, but I want us all just to take a few moments just to think in your own life right now and in the life of Whitmer Heights, what is the harvest? I want to suggest that in the context of thinking of the kingdom of God, that Jesus is talking about here, that we consider the harvest to mean an opportunity and opportunities for relationship. Opportunities for relationship. What do I mean by that? If the harvest is plentiful, and if part of what Jesus is talking about here is this need, this part of this mission is to make the kingdom of God known on this earth where Jesus is Lord of all, then there are so many opportunities for relationship to make this kingdom come. Relationships with people that do not know Jesus as Lord yet. There are so many opportunities in our community and world. Relationships with our own families for loving, healthy relationships. Relationships in our congregation. Relationships with our neighbors. The harvest is a symbol, I believe, for opportunities for relationship, where Jesus is central in the relationship. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I want to suggest two specific ways that we can consider this harvest this morning. The first one being opportunities for relationship with people that do not know Jesus yet. And we do this in word and in deed. A call here from Jesus to go out and to be hospitable with people that do not know Jesus as Lord. What does that look like? Well, I think that we're doing that right now. And maybe sometimes we're a little bit more comfortable by doing it in our deeds and by our living with one another and our volunteer opportunities than by doing it through words. But indeed, we need both of those together. In all of people's work here, I pray that we are using our talents to help make this world a better place, to make Jesus Lord even in the way that we work. Our students who are studying right now on summer break, but as you go back to school, you are using your gifts in the academic world to prepare yourselves to be servant leaders. That you're using your education as a form of being formed into the likeness of Christ, in order that you are also a part of the mission of God. Volunteers in our community, the Conestoga Valley Christian Community Service, food that is collected, the Lancaster County Council of Churches, the Reuse It in MCC, the comforters that were nodding during our fellowship hour, or maybe Nancy Marshall in Belize, bread distribution, helping with transportation and housing needs in our community, or the youth serving in Kentucky, people giving financially to the church here and to so many good things in the community and world. This is all part of joining in God's mission. This is a part of being sent out. But we can't forget that this has to be done in word and in deed as well. That our goal here is that if this is about the kingdom of God, then we're going to have to be particular people that acknowledge Jesus as Lord in this kingdom. And so, as just as a visual, I like to think of this 70 being sent out for the kingdom of God, for the work of the kingdom of God, but that is preparing the way for the Lord. So there is a specific particular mission in this. And here's the second part of harvest, though, as well. This opportunity for relationship. Because in many ways, this text turns everything upside down for how we consider this mission. And this is why I love this story as well. Because in our minds, I think we often think of being a part of God's mission as inviting people in. We invite people to come into our congregation Sunday morning. We want to be a place here that is welcoming to anybody on their journey to follow Jesus. But we think in our minds often that this is where people come to. Or maybe that we invite people to our homes. But if we're going to really understand the story here, this is not so much of inviting people in, but of being people that go out. God's mission, God has a mission, and God's mission has a church. And the mission of the church is to go out. And if we're going to really wrestle with this, it's going to mean that we're going to have to learn how to be good guests in people's homes. This is not about being good hosts, first and foremost. This is about being good guests, because Jesus tells them, go into other people's homes. Boy, what would that look like? Why is it harder to be a good guest? Well, part of being a good guest here that we see from Jesus is that we're willing to be vulnerable, to go into the people's homes, learn their stories, learn about the kinds of foods that they eat, and be willing to eat it and enjoy it and appreciate the welcome. I've sat with some of you guys as you've talked about stories of different service opportunities and mission. And a story that keeps coming up is being invited into people's homes and eating the food that they give you. And sometimes it means taking some chances maybe and eating some food that you normally would not eat. And yet, because we feel like it's part of the hospitality, we do that. We try our hardest to eat what is given to us. If nothing else, we take away this morning that harvest and that the Lord of the harvest is calling us to be people of hospitality that are willing to be guests in people's homes for the sake of the kingdom. And as I think about mission and the history of mission, the Christian mission, over the past 2,000 years, unfortunately, my mind goes to more harmful ways that mission has been done than helpful ways. I think of the Crusades, where mission was done through violence, where people forced the gospel onto others. And if they did not convert, they were often given the sword. But not just that, I'm also even just thinking about mission done in the last 150 years, where I think the biggest sin that we need to ask forgiveness for as Christians is that we brought our own view of who God is by our ethnocentrism, our experiences, and we've assumed that that's going to also be their experience, that that's going to also be how they see God, and we've taken our own practices and beliefs and try to give them completely to them. Now, that doesn't mean I'm saying we shouldn't be preaching that Jesus is Lord. I do think we need to preach that and practice that. But what we can take away here is that in order to be people of mission, we have to be good guests first, which means we're going to have to go into their home in mission and hear their stories, hear their experiences, taste their food, and be learners before we try to give anything. To be a good guest means we will hear their stories while also telling our stories. I think of Barbara Kingsolver and her book, The Poisonwood Bible. And in this book, she talks about some of the bad experiences of mission in some of the African mission movements in the past 150 years. And I had to wonder, if we would have first been good guests in people's homes, would the same harm been done in mission? If we can first learn to be good guests, where can God do through that? And I'm thinking of the book Muslim Christian Friend by David Shank and the Muslim Christian Relations team at EMM right now that I think is doing a lot of good work. And one of the things that they talk about over and over is this need for relationship. Not this urgency to conversion. Certainly, we want to keep Jesus as Lord as central. But we first need to learn relationships and hospitality and love with Muslim Christian dialogue and relationships. And how do they do that? They do it by being good guests
first.
By going into the Muslim home, eating their foods, hearing their stories, and then also, in a spirit of hospitality and love, sharing their stories of who God is and how Jesus is Lord, and sharing that in an invitational and loving, hospitable way. That's goal, where the goal is hospitable relationship. So friends, as we this morning think about our own harvest and our own lives, where Jesus is Lord of all, where the Lord of the harvest is calling us to participate in this mission, I would invite you to think about maybe an opportunity for a relationship that you have with a family member, a friend, a neighbor. And this food here and flowers, we are going to invite you to come up actually during the response song and to take a flower and some kind of vegetable. Please take both. There's plenty. And my prayer is that this could serve two purposes. And the one as a reminder that we are called to be a part of God's mission. That we are called to be going out. And may this be a reminder that there is many opportunities for relationship all around us. And let's go even when it feels vulnerable. But then the second one that I want this food to be a clear symbol of is that it's going to mean that we're going to have to be good guests. And so may the food represent the fellowship that happens around the table, that God's mission always happens in relationships. And may this food represent that God's calling us to go and hear the stories of others, to eat their food, and to share the love of Jesus in word and deed. And so let's have a prayer together. And then as Dean comes up and we sing together, the invitation is that everyone can come up and take a flower and a vegetable with you. Let us pray. Lord of the harvest, thank you so much for your love that is poured out to us, for this visual reminder right in front of us of how you provide for us. And God, as we think about the opportunities for relationships all around us, and that you are calling us out to be a part of your mission, I pray that we would do that in word and deed as we keep you Lord of our lives. And God, that you would teach us how to be good guests in people's homes. God, teach us what it means to love one another, to work for hospitality, to work for relationships, to work for being people of your peace. And we thank you, God, that you have this great mission and that your mission has a church. In Jesus' name, amen.